And truly, the subject this morning that I chose is remember. Because in the Bible, I have always been interested in that word, remember. The Bible uses it often. And I did a search, and I found out the word remember is used 148 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And it's used in 144 verses. And the theme of remember is not just one that's used in religious circles. The secular world is probably interested in the word remember as biblical subjects are. Recently in the Sunday comics, and I went back and tried to find the Sunday paper that this appeared in, and I think the comic strip was the one Pickles, and I think the guy's name was Earl, if I remember right. Earl was talking to his friend, and he said that he was a very spiritual person because he believed in the hereafter. He said he would often go into a room and wonder what he was hereafter. And that was, I guess, his idea about the hereafter. And I heard another story about these two couples, two older couples. The two guys were kind of off talking, and the two ladies were off talking, sometimes as couples are when they're talking. And the guys were trying to remember, this one guy was trying to remember to tell his friend about this new restaurant he and his wife had found. And he could not remember the name of it. There's that word, remember. But he was trying to remember the name of that restaurant. And he says, and you know, we do word associations a lot of times. And he said, you know, it's, that flower that blooms in the spring? You smell it, it smells good. It's got thorns. And you know, guys, a lot of times when they try to cheer their wives up, we'll send them a dozen of these flowers. And the guy said, a rose? He says, yeah, that's it. Rose, what was the name of that restaurant? And so, you know, we all try to remember. And a few years ago, and probably more than a few years ago, Bobby and I were at the Andy Williams Theater, and Andy Williams, he told this like it really happened. You know, it's probably a preacher's story, but he says it really happened when Andy was still alive. He says he went to an old folks' home, and he was there with some other people, and there were some old people sitting outside, and he sat down with them. And he said never once indicated who he was, just sat down with them outside and had a nice visit. And he got ready to go, and this one lady he had been sitting beside, and they were talking and had a nice visit, and he kind of patted her on the hand. He said, say, do you know who I am? And she said, no, hon, but if you'll ask the head nurse, she'll tell you. And I kind of feel like that sometimes, you know. So it's not just the religious world that's interested in remembering. The whole secular world is interested and remembering, but as time marches on, you know, we forget a lot of people we've lost touch with over the years. And I remember a few years ago, I was looking in a truck at one of the automobile dealerships, and this guy comes out, and he waits on me, and we look at a couple trucks, and they want to give you a little space, and finally he asked me my name. I told him my name, and he says, no, you're not. And I thought, well, surely I am. And apparently, we had went to high school together, and which kind of shocked me because I look exactly like I did in high school. And he had changed a lot. And I am just kidding. You know, but with the advent of Facebook and things like that, you know, we do a lot of remembering, don't we? And God isn't like that. He doesn't forget us. And for that, I'm thankful. As we look at the Old Testament and we look at the word remember, it's used a lot of times by God stating that he would remember his covenants, he would remember his promises, and he would remember his people. In the New Testament, we have God continuing to talk about the fact that he would remember his people. We have the apostles talking about the churches and how he would remind them of the important matters regarding their salvation and the work of the church. And to remember was and is a very important biblical matter, as well as something we notice that becomes more and more difficult for us sometimes as we get older. Once again, I noticed as we look at this word that the Bible is ahead of the secular world. You know, the secular world does all these fancy, expensive studies to tell us what the Bible has told us many years ago in a very simple way. It tells us in practical terms by telling us over and over to review and remember in order to know what God would have us do. For example, some of us have a lot of woods around our house. And what happens if we walk into the woods and we walk a certain trail a lot of times? We wear it down, don't we? We wear a trail. What happens if we don't walk that trail for a while? It becomes grown up and no longer easy to walk. The same thing happens in our mind to important guidance along the trail of life that God has given us. It becomes grown up because we haven't used it. And it's no longer easy to recall those things. Well, the world, when it does that expensive study that I was telling you about, it's called the fading theory. And according to the fading theory, the trace or mark of a memory etches into your brain. It's like a path made in the woods. When you continually walk along the same route, if you don't take the same path, it eventually becomes overgrown until it just disappears. In the same way, facts that you learn are forgotten when you don't review them. In a study on forgetting textbook material that students had studied, they compared the percentage of material remembered after different intervals of time, and the results were as follows. After one day, how much do you think they remembered after just one day? 54%. After 7 days, 35% was remembered. After 14 days, 21% was remembered. And after 28 days, only 9% was remembered. And after 63 days, only 7% was remembered. So remembering what you heard in lectures is even more difficult to recall because you're not able to slow down, you're not able to pause, you're not able to reflect or to reread unless you take excellent notes. In a study on recall after listening to a seminar, students forgot more than how much? How much would you think that they recall? Students forgot more than 90% of the points from the lecture after 14 days. That's a lot. More than 90%. And the conclusions to be made from these studies, without review, most information will be lost from your memory. The best time to review the materials is within a day or two after the material has been read or presented in the lecture. That's why all semester and cramming for the finals doesn't always produce as good a result as continual reviewing and putting it in your mind by remembering those things on a continual basis. Another reason the Bible, in its wisdom, says often to remember. Often to remember. Now we won't take the time to look at every passage in the Bible that talks about remember, but we'll look at a few of them. The first few are in Deuteronomy, and I think we'll just save these for Wednesday night based on our time situation. We'll look at those on Wednesday night. The first one, if you want to follow along in the reading of your Bible, is Psalm 25 and verse 7. King David writes, he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy loving kindness. Remember," there's that word, "remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Jehovah." And Psalm 25 is a psalm written by David. We know all too well of some of David's sins. And when David realized his sins, his contriteness was unequal. When I think of sin and David's situation, I read often of Psalm 51. David, when he repented, he held nothing back. And then David's son, Solomon, in remembering in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 8 is the next one. And I go to Ecclesiastes quite a bit because I want you to remember Ecclesiastes. I preached a sermon on Ecclesiastes. I think Ecclesiastes probably is one of the most important books in the entire Bible. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 8, he says, "Yea, if a man live many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him," there's that word, "remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." Then Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, there's that word, "Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Now remember Ecclesiastes, and in talking about Ecclesiastes, there's that word I used, it, remember. Remember the experiment that Solomon was conducting. Remember the whole theme of the book that we, you may not remember, there's that word. Remember what Solomon was doing. Remember in chapter 2 and verse 3, Solomon basically said, I'm going to get drunk and see what's fun to do. Remember that? Now that's kind of in the Message translation way of putting it. He basically said, I'm going to drink wine and go out there and find out what's really fun to do. And y'all have heard me say that over and over again because we live in a world, that's what people around us are doing. They talk about, I'm going to go get high, get drunk, and find out what is fun to do. And that's exactly what Solomon said he was going to do. And at the end, he said, remember God. Follow His commandments. That's the whole duty of man after he tried it all. I remember after Jack performed our ceremony in a long time ago, whatever year that was, 1973. See, I did remember. I was just saying that just to see if he would remember. He don't remember, but I do. Anyway, in 1975, I went to Germany. And when you first got in the country, you go to the NCO barracks, and you have to go there first before your wife can come to the country. And as you go to the NCO barracks, we had private rooms, but you're a low man on the totem pole when you first get to the country. And they all think it's funny because you get the worst private room in the NCO barracks. And I didn't find out why till the first Friday night. And I thought, what's all this snickering about? I got a private room in Germany. The weather's great. It was July. I left here. It was 115 degrees, I think. I get off the plane in Frankfurt. It's like 70 degrees, sunshine, beautiful. I get to Ansbach in Bavaria. It's beautiful. You know, and everything is nice. I get to this private room in Ansbach, even though I am 1st Armored Division, which is it's a pretty good unit. We get to do some fun things. You know, you get a private room, and everybody talks about what fun there is on the weekends, and then they find out, oh, you're new in the unit. You're the new guy. Oh, you get that room. I still didn't know what they were talking about. Well, anyway, Friday night comes. They talk about the fact that you got the new room. Well, I'm moving to the new room. It was the only one left. In the middle of the night, I find out what they're talking about. I hear this terrible, terrible noise. Woke me up from a dead sleep. Well, I find out what they were talking about and all the fun they were having. I get up, and some of y'all know what a latrine is. It's a bathroom in the military. I hear this noise. I leave the room. I go next door to where the latrine is, and I see all these people that were going to go out and have fun in an embrace. Now, this is kind of gross, but they were in love with a toilet bowl. There was a whole row of them. All these people that were going to go have fun are in a mad embrace with a toilet bowl, and here comes their fun. That just didn't look fun to me. But that's what they thought was funny, is the fact that there's no way you can get any sleep because all night long you're disturbed by all these people losing their fun. Well, I got out of that room as quick as I could. I mean, moved to another room, and then we got an apartment in Germany and got out of the barracks. But the point is, I still don't see the fun. But the point is, that's what Solomon said people were doing in that particular day, and they're still doing it today. Get drunk, get high, go out, see what's fun. And Solomon said they did it then, they're doing it now. And he said the end of the matter is that? No. Fear God, serve Him, that's the whole duty of man. And you know what? The reason I say it a whole bunch of times is because I want you to remember that old guy at church kept saying, that's not fun. There's no lasting fun in that. Anyway, then we get to Isaiah the prophet, chapter 38 and verse 1. Isaiah the prophet writes, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith Jehovah, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed in Jehovah and said, remember, there's our word, remember now, O Jehovah, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. As Hezekiah prayed and poured out his heart to God, Jehovah spoke to Isaiah the prophet and told Isaiah to inform Hezekiah that he had heard his prayer and had decided to deliver him and the people from the Syrian king and to add 15 years to his life. And then later in the book of Isaiah, the prophet writes a record of the revelation that he received. He said in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 15, he says, I am Jehovah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith Jehovah, who maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Then down in verse 18, he says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, in this passage, the prophet Isaiah says to not remember the former things because Jehovah is doing something new for his people. And, you know, some of these prophets that you read, a lot of people skip over the prophets and they say, it's the prophets, it's boring. But yet they'll turn around and read poetry of today. The prophets is some of the most beautiful poetry that you've ever read. And it has a meaning. And it has sometimes a pointed meaning. And sometimes it announced judgment among the people of that day. And I love to read the prophets. And there's just such beauty in the prophets. So don't skip lightly over the prophets. Then as the poetic writing Isaiah continues, Isaiah records how God then says he will not remember their sins any longer. So the lack of remembrance can be a good thing also. Look down in verse 25 of Isaiah 43. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will remember, and I will not remember thy sins. Let's look over to Luke chapter 23:39. We'll do one or two more. I love this particular one. This is the thief on the cross. It says, and one of the malefactors that were hanged railed of him, saying, art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him, said, dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said, Jesus, there's the word, Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. As you think about these two men, they seem to reflect mankind's attitude toward Jesus. You got two guys here. And what's one guy doing? He's dying. Of course, they both are. But what's one man doing? He's ridiculing the Son of God as he dies. What's the other guy doing? He's saying, do you not even fear God? This guy is innocent. And he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that almost reflects the way mankind today behaves against Jesus. You've got one that looks at Jesus and says, ridicules him, makes fun of him, disbelieves. You've got another segment of mankind today that believes. Those of us that are here. And this is reflecting these two thieves on the cross and their attitudes toward Jesus. And he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus didn't question him about what he believed. He didn't question him about what he meant. He simply said, today you will be with me in paradise. My goodness, what words. Don't you know at that point to hear those words in this guy's life, it made up for all the disappointments this guy had ever received, all the cruelty, all the injustices, everything that he had received in the world that was bad, whatever terrible things that he had received, this rectified it all. That today, if he could just hang on a little longer before this day was over, everything would be okay. No matter what you've went through in your lives, you know, today, if you could just hang on through today, a lot of times you think, you know, I could just make it through today. I can get through today. That's what this guy, all he had to do is just think, if I could just make it through today. Suddenly it didn't matter what the Romans did to him. The pain wasn't as painful. The hurt may take his life, but not his soul. The crucifixion may bring physical death, but he had achieved victory over spiritual death. No wonder people talk about and marvel to this day about the thief on the cross. That's something. You know, the New Testament, we could continue to look at passages that talk about remembrance. There's a lot more. Maybe another time we'll look at some more of these. And each one of them has some special things within themselves. One of the things I try to do in each lesson is I try to leave you with just one, two, maybe three points. Because you know what? I've heard Larry give some fantastic lessons. And you know, on Monday morning, if somebody said, what was the lesson yesterday? You know what I would do? I would think. And I probably, if you gave me long enough, I could probably tell you if I could hear it. Because I miss a lot because I'm deaf. And the thing is, we don't take a lot with us. Just like we were talking about, we don't retain a lot of what we hear. We watch those stupid TV shows, and I got to thinking the other day, how much of that do we take with us? I forgot it as soon as I see it. And that's the reason I usually, at the end of most lessons, will tell you, here's what I want you to take with you. And if I ever do this many points, that's usually probably one or two too many. But today I'll do three. Three things I want you to take with you. Number one, remember what God has done for his people, past, present, and always. God's always working in your regard. He didn't get done and sit and does nothing. He's working for his people, even today, the church. Number two, Romans 8:28. Remember that he is always working. Don't forget that. Remember that always. Remind yourself that. I know you do, but keep on doing it. And number three, remember to keep on getting up. Satan wants you to fall down and stay down. When you sin, you know, he wants you to think, I goofed up again. Might as well just, you know, give it up. He wants you to think that. He wants you to stay defeated. God will forgive you. No matter what you do, be forgiven. Go to Christ for repentance, confess your sin, and keep on being forgiven. Don't give up. But remember, that forgiveness is for those that are in Christ. And first off, you've got to take the step. If you're not in Christ, you've got to be there. And if you're in Christ and you goofed up, you need the prayers of the church, you need to respond to the invitation in any way, we stand ready to help you as we stand and sing.